Guy going.
Mark,
see if he's in agreement. Mark?
I had a question about this morning.
Yeah?
I was listening to Christmas Carol on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm schizophrenic. And I heard when they come, I thought, do you hear what I hear?
Oh, no. Oh, Marky.
Oh.
Fortunately, the medication works. Praise God. All right. Let's grab our hymnals, folks. We'll stand for our final hymn this morning. Let's go to 185. 185, we'll sing all three. And aren't you glad that love lifted you and me? Yeah. So, 185 and first, second, and third. Get a right number here. Ah, piano sounds good.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very peaceful slave within, sinking to rise no more.
Hey!
But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. To him I give, ever to him I cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Yes, love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful loving service to him belong. John 3:16. When nothing else could help, John 3:16. When nothing else could help, John 3:16. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He, your savior, wants to be saved today.
Hey!
Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Yes,
love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Woo! Hey, hey! Oh, great singing this morning, church. Please be seated. Oh, what a blessing to be able to sing the words to that song. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained with sin, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I, safe am I. Amen? And every one of us can say, like the hymn writer, I'm now safe in the arms of Jesus Christ, sinking no more. Oh, well, great testimonies this morning, and very encouraging. Let's grab our Bibles at this time, folks, and open up to my favorite gospel, chapter 18. My favorite gospel, chapter 18. You all know me well enough to know what my favorite gospel is, don't you?
John.
Some of you do. That's right, Carol. John. John chapter 18. And here in John chapter 18, this morning, as I was preparing last night, Jesus Christ is at Gethsemane. And as you know, Gethsemane the garden is the night, the evening of the betrayal. And I noticed something incredible here in John chapter 18 that I want to call your attention to. As I bring a message this morning, I've entitled, Two Cups. Two Cups. Look with me. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word in John chapter 18, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, What words? Chapter 17. Amen? Praying for his disciples. He went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Now, they go into the Garden of Gethsemane here, and Jesus Christ is praying. Drop down with me to verse number 7. Then asked he them again. These are the soldiers, the bands that Judas brought to arrest the Savior. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Drop down to verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? I see a cup of suffering here. A cup of suffering. But go with me to Psalms 116. Psalms 116. I see another cup. I see two cups. In Psalm 116, look with me, in verse number 12, David writes concerning another cup. Psalm 116, verse 12. David said, I said in mine haste, all men are liars. 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I see another cup here called the cup of salvation. I want to speak to you on two cups, beloved. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ and the two cups that we find in the scripture. Lord, how we thank you that he was willing to take the cup of suffering, that we could take the cup of salvation. Oh God, how we praise your name this morning, for it is good. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless your word by your Holy Spirit. Open up our ears spiritually and show us marvelous things from thy word today, that we may grow to love Jesus more and more. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Two cups we find in the Bible. One, a cup of suffering. Two, a cup of salvation. Beloved, how privileged are we to be able to drink of the water of life and enjoy all of the benefits that accompany salvation in Jesus Christ. But what I want you to see this morning, beloved, is that before you or I or any soul could ever drink of the cup of salvation, it was requisite that the Son of God had to drink of another cup, that is, the cup of suffering. And had he not been willing to drink of that cup first, then every single son of Adam would be bound for the lake of fire. We'd have no hope of salvation whatsoever. But I'm so thankful this morning that Jesus Christ was willing to drink of the cup of suffering for the likes of me and you. Oh, it's so good this morning. Now, I want to show you two cups this morning. First, let's look at this cup of suffering. Look with me in John chapter 18. This cup of suffering. Verse number 11, we read, then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Peter was going contrary to the will of the Father by chopping off the servant's ear and trying to save Jesus from crucifixion. It was noble, but it wasn't God's will. And Jesus picked up his ear and stuck it back on. Amen? Because he had a cup to drink. He had a cup of suffering to endure. I want to give you three things concerning this cup of suffering. I want us to look at its contents. Secondly, I want us to look at its giver. And thirdly, I want us to look at its acceptance. First, notice the contents of this cup. Now, beloved, listen carefully. This cup of suffering that our Lord willingly drank contained much more than meets the eye. It contained 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things. First, it contained betrayal. Look with me in verse 1 again. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron. Where was a garden? Into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which what?
Betrayed
him. Knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Why? To betray the Son of God. To betray the Son of God. Could you imagine walking with Jesus Christ in person for 3.5 years and then betraying him? You'd have to be the devil incarnate to do that. And some think he was. Look at verse 5. Then answered him Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Notice that Judas is standing with the enemies of Jesus Christ. Why? He betrayed him. Listen, to betray is to violate a trust by unfaithfulness, to fail or deceive a close friend, a breach of confidence. Oh yes, beloved. We have no problem pointing our fingers at Judas Iscariot and saying, that dirty, rotten scoundrel. But what about you and I? What about you and I? We betrayed the Savior by our sin. And we needed him to drink that cup. Not for his own self, but for you and I. All the Son of God was betrayed by sinful man. And yet, he said, I'll drink it. I'll take that cup. Matthew 26. Don't go there. Getting ahead of myself. Go with me to Psalms 41. In Psalms 41, David spoke prophetically quite a bit about this cup that the Lord would drink. And in Psalms 41, look with me at verse number 9. David says, yea, this is prophetic concerning Messiah. Mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. That's a prophecy of Judas betraying the Son of God. Don't you know Jesus knew all things? He knew he'd be betrayed into the hands of the Romans and the Pharisees and Caesar and Pilate. He knew it. Go to Psalm 55. And yet, he said, I will drink that cup. In Psalm 55, look with me at verse 12. Don't miss this. Also prophetic. Verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. He says, yeah, it was my friend that deceived me and betrayed me. Folks, don't you know that you can put your name right in there and cross Judas' name right out of there? Because it was your sin and my sin that nailed him to that cross. We betrayed the innocent blood when we sinned. Then we needed a Savior. I'm so thankful. He knew all things, and yet he also was willing to drink of this cup of suffering. But secondly, not only did it contain betrayal, this cup of suffering, it contained false accusation. Go back to our text in John 18. It contained false accusation. Look at verse 12. Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now, they begin to accuse Jesus Christ of crimes that he didn't commit. Amen? Look with me down in verse 28. Drop down to verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas, after they got through with him, unto the hall of judgment. And it was early. Yeah, about 2 a.m., 3 a.m. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. They accused him of being a common criminal, which he was not. Folks, listen, have you ever been accused of something that you didn't do? My hands up. Doesn't it hurt?
Yeah.
It hurts. You know what hurts most about it? Not that you didn't do it, but that people believe it. Jesus knew the feeling. Amen. I'm so glad that Jesus can identify. He knows what it feels like to be betrayed and falsely accused when he was innocent. And he was innocent. You and I aren't. Now, it contained false accusation, this cup of suffering. Something else it contained. It contained mockery. Look at chapter 19. This cup of suffering contained mockery. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." Behold the man! Church, I want you to behold the man who was mocked for your sin and my sin. I want you to behold him in a purple robe and a crown of thorns, and they're mocking, "Ha ha, King of the Jews, save yourself." They're mocking him. Not once did he refuse this cup, beloved. Serious message this morning. Fourthly, it contained desertion. I think this is worst of all. Look at chapter 18 again. Look at verse 17. This cup contained desertion. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, "Art not thou also one of this man's disciples?" He saith, "I am not. I don't know the man." Wow. You know what that's called? That's called desertion by your best friends. Drop down with me to verse 25. Look at it. In 25 we read, "And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself." Yeah, at the enemy's fire. "They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples?" He denied it and said, "I am not." 26. "One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him?" Yeah, you chopped my ear off. I think I saw you. 27. "Peter then denied again." And immediately the cock crew. The cock crew. Because Jesus said, "Before thou shalt deny me thrice, the cock shall crow twice." And it did. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, and he wept, the Bible says in another place. Why did he weep? Because he deserted Jesus in his hour of need. But folks, I want to go one step further. Matthew 26, verse 56 says, "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." They all deserted the Son of God at his greatest hour of need. And you and I have deserted him at times in our lives. When we said, "I know not the man. I won't give you that gospel tract like the Holy Spirit's telling me." "Oh, not me, Christian. Oh, not me." Oh, he suffered desertion by his closest friends. But fifthly, this cup of suffering contained death. Look at chapter 19 again. In chapter 19 and verse 16, "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth unto a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, Jesus in the midst." Oh, beloved, this cup of suffering contained death. He had to die in order for you and I to be forgiven. Wow! What a man we serve! The God-man. I saw one hanging on a tree in agonies and blood, who fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Sure, never to my latest breath can I forget that look. He seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt alone my guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins his blood had spilt, and that helped to nail him there. A second look he gave, which said, "I freely all forgive. My blood is for thy ransom paid. I die that thou mayst live. I die that thou mayst live." Oh, what a Savior we serve, church, this morning. He's so wonderful. He's so caring. He's so compassionate. And beloved, the contents of this cup of suffering were the requirements for our redemption. You realize that? And he said, "I'll drink it all to the last drop." Wow, what a Savior. But I want you to see something else concerning this cup of suffering. We've seen its contents. Not good. Secondly, I want us to see its giver. Notice its giver. Back in our text, John chapter 18. Look at verse 11. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Notice the words, my Father hath given me. Beloved, Jesus didn't say anything here about Judas Iscariot, or the soldiers, or the high priest, or Caiaphas, or Pontius Pilate, or the Jews who screamed, crucify him, crucify him. No, he says it's the cup which my Father hath given me to drink. Beloved, we need to look beyond the arm of flesh in our lives and see the hand of God at work. And Jesus could say, I know that my Father has given me this cup and I will drink it because it's his will. Oh, beloved, I'm so thankful this morning that he took the cup which his Father gave him to drink. Acts chapter 2. Hold your place in John. We're coming right back. Acts chapter 2, just a few pages ahead. And look with me at verse 22. Peter's preaching up a storm. He says in verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God amongst you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of who?
God.
Delivered by God, ye have taken and by wicked hands crucified and slain. Oh, beloved, it was God, the Father, that gave him this cup of suffering to drink. He said, my son, will you do it? He said, I will. I will. What a savior. Chapter 4 of Acts. Look with me in chapter 4. And look with me at verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Wow. Listen, the preacher says, God, it was you who determined and planned the death of Jesus Christ for the sins of the world. Wow. It was the cup of suffering which the Father gave him to drink. Beloved, listen to me. It was the will of God that Jesus Christ should drink this cup. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, don't turn there. For he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He, the Father, hath made him, the Son, to be sin for us. Wow! It was the cup the Father gave. When Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The answer is, because the Father was giving him this cup of suffering to drink. And the Father had to turn away as his Son suffered the punishment of our sins. Go to Isaiah 53 quickly. Got to move. In Isaiah chapter 53, you know the passage. All about the cross in Isaiah 53. All about the atonement that the Son of God made for our sins. And he says this in Isaiah 53 verse 4. Surely he, the Son, hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of who?
God.
Oh, ho, ho. I thought he was stricken by Pilate. I thought he was stricken by the Roman soldiers. I thought he was stricken by the band of soldiers that came. No. He was smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Father laid on the Son the iniquity of us all, beloved. It was the cup the Father gave him to drink. Verse 10. Look at it. Yet it pleased the Lord. What a verse. Look at it. It pleased the Lord, Father, to bruise him, the Son. He, the Father, hath put him, the Son, to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord, Father, shall prosper in his hands, the Son. Wow! Powerful verse. 11. He, the Father, shall see of the travail of his soul, the Son, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The Father gave him this cup to drink, and he willingly received it, beloved. Oh, yes, indeed. One time a father told his son that if he broke the rules of the home one more time, he would make him sleep in the attic for 3 days with just bread and water for supper. The little boy disobeyed again, of course, and was sent to the attic. The father could not eat. He could not sleep. He could only think of his son up in the attic. His wife told him to keep his word and wait 3 days for the boy to learn his lesson. So the father entered the attic, ate bread and water with the boy, and made his own arm the boy's pillow to sleep on. You know what? That father loved his son. And he said, he must be punished. He must be punished for the sins. And beloved, I'm so thankful this morning that the father loves his son so much that he was willing to let him suffer 3 days and three nights in the attic of the earth for you and I. Oh, what a Savior we serve this morning. With something else in this cup of suffering. We've seen its contents. We've seen its giver. But thirdly, observe its acceptance. Look with me back in our text, John 18. Look at verse 11 again. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father had given me, shall I not drink it? Question. Shall I not do the will of the Father? Listen to me. Beloved, I am so thankful that Jesus Christ willingly accepted the cup of suffering for you and I. Go to John chapter 10. Flip back a couple pages, you'll be there. My favorite chapter in the Bible, John chapter 10, because this is where I got saved. October 3rd, 1986. Jesus, Holy Spirit told me, you are not one of Jesus' sheep. Your sister Ellie is, but you are not. And I knew it for the first time in my life. And tears began to flow as I became a sheep of the Lord. Look at it. In John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd what?
Giveth
his life for the sheep. Oh yeah. It wasn't the nails that held him on the cross. It was his love for you and me. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. I, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. I'm so glad of that. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of who?
My Father.
Wow. Jesus said, my Father told me I need to lay down my life for the sheep. How he loves us, church. It boggles my mind that Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, could take my sins and die for them and pay the price for my redemption. It absolutely boggles my mind. He said, I accept this cup of suffering which my Father hath given me. Beloved, had not Jesus Christ willingly accepted the cup of suffering, then there could be no redemption, no salvation, no forgiveness from sin. And all of Adam's race would be forever doomed, forever separated from their Maker. But he said, I come to do thy will, O God. In the volume of the book it is written of me. That whole book right there is about Jesus Christ. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 and everything in between, it's all about him. He said, in the volume of the book it's written of me. Wow! It's all about Jesus. Amen? Why was he silent when a word would slay his accusers all? Why does he meekly bear their taunts when angels await his call? He was made sin. My sin he bore upon the accursed tree. And sin hath no defense to make. His silence was for me. His silence was for me. Amen? Listen, in his acceptance of the cup of suffering, He held his tongue and silently took our punishment. He never complained. He never said, I didn't do it. He never said, I got the wrong guy. He said, take me. Let my disciples go, but take me. Here am I. Wow! We've seen the contents of the cup of suffering. We've seen the giver of the cup of suffering. We've seen the acceptance of the cup of suffering. But there's another cup, quickly, I need to show you. Another cup is called the cup of salvation. Go with me to Psalm 116 again. Back to Psalms 116. I'm so glad that there's another cup. Amen. That's not the end of the story. In Psalm 116, look with me at verse 13. David said, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Woo-hoo! Beloved, there is another cup, and it's called the cup of salvation. Glory. Now, I've got good news this morning. In focusing in on this cup of salvation, three things arise. Its contents. Listen, its contents, its giver, and its acceptance. Same as the other cup, right? Listen, first let's look at its contents. Its contents, it contains some very special things. First, one, two, three, four things that it contains. It contains, first, pardon from sin. Amen? Look with me in chapter 19 of John. This cup contains pardon from sin. In chapter 19, look with me at verse number 30. Don't miss this. Verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, beloved, listen very carefully. He's saying everything that needed to be accomplished for the redemption of the world is done. It's finished. Go to chapter 20. Chapter 20. Look at verse 23. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Jesus says, now my disciples can preach the gospel, tell the world about me, their Savior, and whosoever receiveth me, their sins are what? Remitted. Washed. Pardoned. Gone. I love it. He's saying everything for the salvation of every soul is now completed. It's finished. This cup contains pardon. Good news for sinful man. Secondly, this cup of salvation, it contains peace. It contains peace like nothing else can give you. Go to chapter 20 again. John chapter 20. Look at verse 19. 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. That's why we're here on Sunday. Amen? These Sabbath keepers are out of bounds. When the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, what? Peace. Peace be unto you. Beloved, I got good news this morning. I don't care what ISIS is pulling off. I don't care what Al-Qaeda is up to. Peace be unto you. Amen. Who know Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at it. Verse 20. And when he had said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then that'll give you peace. Amen. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Even as my Father had sent me, even so send I you. Jesus said, I want you boys to know something. You're going to have a divine, blessed peace which nothing in this world can shake. Because it's my peace giveth I unto thee. Not as the world giveth. Amen. It's the peace of the Son of God. Do you think Jesus is at peace tonight, this morning? Yep. Perfect peace. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. They're having a good old time praying for us, taking care of our every need. And he's got perfect peace. And he wants you to retain that peace, no matter what you're going through. This cup of salvation, oh, it contains glorious, blessed peace. Look at verse 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them, doubting Thomas. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Three times. When Jesus says something once, you got to pay attention. Three times? Oh, yeah. Listen, there's something else, the blessed peace of God that Jesus brings. But there's something else this cup contains. Thirdly, it contains paradise. Look at chapter 18. This cup of salvation contains paradise within it. Look with me in chapter 18 at verse 36. Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Listen to me, beloved. Jesus Christ declares here that his kingdom, that is heaven, his eternal home, is not of this world. Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that this cup of salvation contains paradise forever, eternal glory in heaven in this cup. Oh, yes. But fourthly, you got to move quickly. This cup of salvation, it contains redemption. Amen? It contains redemption. Look at verse 20, chapter 20 again. Chapter 20, look at verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. He says the book of John, the whole divine design of the book is so that you and you and you and you and you might have eternal life in his name. You see it? Why? Because this cup of salvation contains redemption for the soul. Life everlasting is now available in this precious cup of salvation, folks. A few years ago, a young man went to a minister in great distress. He realized his lost spiritual state, and he was seeking answers. He said to the preacher, "Sir, can you please tell me what I must do to find peace with God?" The pastor looked at the man and said, "Young man, I'm afraid you're too late." "Oh, no, you don't mean I'm too late to be saved, do you?" "Oh, no, no, no," said the pastor. "But you are too late to do something, because Jesus Christ did everything that was necessary to be done for you 20 centuries ago." Amen. Amen. All we have to do is take the cup of salvation that he provided and drink it down. You'll never be the same. Amen? Oh, this cup of salvation, the glorious contents of it. But secondly, notice its giver. Who is the giver of this cup of salvation? Back to John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, look with me in verse 1. Who is the giver? "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he..." Who's the he of verse 2? Jesus Christ, the Son, "should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Folks, this cup of salvation, its giver is the Son of God. It's the same one who drank the cup of suffering that offers you the cup of salvation that you can freely drink. I'm so thankful for that. This cup of salvation, he gives eternal life to all those who will drink it freely. 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." John 4:10, "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Who would give her living water? Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Listen, beloved, I'm so glad that God the Father has arranged things so that only God the Son can give eternal life to those who want it. You can't go to Buddha. You can't go to Krishna. You can't go to Muhammad or Allah or any of these other false gods. You need Jesus Christ if you want to be saved. And they call us bigoted and narrow-minded. And so we are, because we believe that he is the only way to heaven. Jesus Christ. An aged saint was asked by a friend to describe salvation in a few words. The old man quickly replied, "It's something for nothing." His faithful friend, who had weathered the storms for many a long year and was nearing the heavenly harbor, responded, "Yes, it is. But it's even better than that." He said, "It's everything for nothing." It's everything for nothing. Okay, we've seen the contents of this cup of salvation. Glorious things. We've seen the giver of this cup of salvation, Jesus Christ. But finally, we must see the acceptance of this cup. Follow me in closing, beloved. In Psalm 116 again. Look at it. In Psalm 116, watch very carefully the wording here. Psalm 116. Look with me at verse 12. David says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" What's the next word?
I
will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Beloved, listen to me. The acceptance of this cup of salvation is personal. It's individual. And it's accountable. We are responsible to either receive it or reject it. David said, "I will take the cup of salvation." Can you say that? Listen, beloved. In Revelation 22, verse 6, go to the last page of your Bible. And remember, the last page of your Bible has got to be pretty important what he says. In Revelation chapter 22, look at verse 16. Verse 16, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Whosoever will, let him take the cup of salvation and drink it down. Listen, the Bible says that the acceptance of this cup is personal and individual. Amen? And I'm so glad that anybody, whosoever, in this world that wants it, can have it. It's free. It's offered to all people. He's not racist. He's not prejudiced. He wants them all to take the water of life freely. Though they won't. I'm so glad that acceptance of this cup of salvation is now open to all those who will say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I accept your offer. I will drink from the cup of salvation that you have offered to whosoever will." Listen, he will not pry open your mouth and force you to drink it against your will. You have to want it. You know what separates you from the rest of the world? You want Jesus Christ. You're in his house this morning because you love a man named Jesus who changed your life. You want him in your life. You desire his presence, his Holy Spirit, his word. You've chosen the Lord Jesus Christ and to drink the cup of salvation that he offered you in your life. That's what separates you from the lost world out there. Now listen very carefully, beloved. It's only for those who choose to take it sincerely, who truly desire a new life, an eternal life, with him who drank the cup that we could not drink of, the cup of suffering. Our message this morning is two cups. There was a cup of suffering so that there could be a cup of salvation. Amen? I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus was willing to take that cup so that I could take the other. In closing, let me give you this, I'll be done. Helen Keller was a deaf, dumb, and blind mute from birth. Listen, she never went to church in her youth as she was struggling to learn Braille and communication skills. And so she did not learn the story of the love of God in Jesus Christ until she was in her 20s when she was taken to Dr. Philip Brooks, a great preacher, Philip Brooks, for religious instruction. The great preacher told her in the simplest possible language how God had sent his son Jesus to teach us his will and to show us his love and to make himself known to humanity. Suddenly, the face of Helen Keller lit up with a joyful glow as she spelled into the hands of Dr. Philip Brooks these words, and I quote, "I knew all the time there must be one like that, but I didn't know his name." Thank you. Helen Keller got saved. And you know that gal, you read her autobiography, she was never the same from that day forth. Never gave her caretakers a trouble in the world. She just had a joy and a peace. Deaf, dumb, and blind. And Helen Keller knew Jesus Christ because she drank the cup of salvation. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning that there are only two types of people in the world. There are those who have never drunk of the glorious cup of salvation that Jesus Christ offers them. And then there are those who have joyfully received it and drank of that cup and received the salvation that it contains. Lord, I'm so thankful this morning that as far as I can see, every person in this church this morning has drank of that cup of salvation. They've received the eternal life that Jesus Christ offered in that cup. But oh God, our hearts are burdened this morning for the multitude of precious souls all over this world that don't know Jesus Christ yet. They have not heard of the cup of salvation. They did not know that they need to drink of Jesus' cup in order to be saved. But, oh God, we pray that this message would go forth to the four corners of the earth with power from on high. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would anoint this message, that it would bear much fruit, that many souls will come to know Jesus Christ as Savior from sin by drinking of the cup of salvation that he offers today. Lord, I'm so thankful that it's so simple to be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. And oh Lord, I want to pray for all those under the sound of my voice right now, whether they're listening on the website or on YouTube or on Facebook or on Twitter or on all the groups that we have. Lord, I pray that multitudes would pray that sinner's prayer. Would pray, Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you're offering me the cup of salvation this day. Lord, I freely accept it. Lord, I want you, Jesus Christ, in my life. I want you to take away my sins. I want you to cleanse me by your holy blood. Give me your Holy Spirit. Make me born anew, a new creature. Lord, I pray that you give me your Holy Spirit and help me to live for thee the rest of my life and help me to tell others that Jesus saves. Father, we thank you for this time of prayer. And we thank you for those who will receive the Savior as a result. And Lord, we thank you that you were willing to take and drink of the cup of suffering for all of us. Lord, it was all of us that you drank that cup for. And Lord, we're thankful that now all people on planet Earth are eligible to drink of the cup of salvation, if they only will. We thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. And the people said, amen. Amen. Let's grab our hymnals, beloved, for a time of invitation. And perhaps, perhaps the Lord has laid some poor soul on your heart that needs the Savior. Like that woman that Marianne was talking about. How she needs the Savior. And just wanted to end it all. And that's the purpose, the reason for living. Jesus Christ gives your life such a purpose. I'm so thankful. Puts a joy in your step and a spring in your walk by his Holy Spirit. 52, beloved. Let's open up to 52 as we stand. And we will sing all three. And I'm so glad that indeed there is total victory in Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's sing it to him. Altar is open if you need it to pray for someone.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin, yes, and won that victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He loved me and he bought me with his redeeming blood.
Yes, he did.
I loved me and I knew him. plunge me to victory beneath that cleansing blood. On the second, I heard about his healing, of his cleansing blood revealing how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, yes, Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Everybody, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me.
Is open. If you got somebody you need to pray for that needs to drink that cup of salvation, I urge you to come on the third. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about those streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, above the angels singing, and John story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of the victory. Everybody, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh yeah, he loved me. And now my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing blood.
Woo!
Ho ho! Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads for dismissing prayer. Don't forget tonight at 6 o'clock if you can join us. We're expecting a big crowd for the Lord's table tonight. It's going to be good. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the cup of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that David spoke of it prophetically. And Lord, thank you that we are enjoying the fruits of it today. Father, I want to thank you for these precious souls, these church members that came to this altar this morning. And they brought names before your throne, Father. I know they brought individual names before your throne that need salvation, that need to take that cup and drink it up. Father, I pray for those souls that they prayed for, that, Lord, you would answer that prayer by sending your mighty Holy Spirit to open up their hearts to the truth of the gospel, Lord. No man can be saved without the enlightening of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you'd break down satanic strongholds and reveal the glory of the Lord Jesus to those lost souls, that they may come to the cup of salvation and drink it down. Lord, I pray that we be hearing testimonies in the weeks ahead of these people that we've prayed for this morning, getting saved, drinking that cup, coming to Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for all you're going to do through this message, Father. All glory and praise and exaltation be to Jesus Christ. In his holy name we pray, and the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, people.